And Romans chapter 4, just for a verse. And verse 12 of Romans 4. Abram is spoken of as the father of all them that believe. He's the father of circumcision. And it says here, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abram, which he had being yet circumcised. The apostle is dealing with the great truth of the gospel, and he introduces Abraham and David as illustrations of the truth that he's setting forth, the truth of justification by faith seen in Abraham, and the truth of salvation by grace as seen in David. But it speaks here of this great man of faith, Abraham, and that we walk in the steps of that faith. The steps of that faith. Abraham was justified on the basis of faith. So his righteousness was a faith righteousness. Now this morning, as we remember the Lord Jesus, our thoughts seem to have been directed to the pathway of the Lord Jesus, a pathway of purest grace, those steps of the Lord Jesus that took him all the way to the cross, that path of obedience as he moved towards Calvary. Delightful occupation for our hearts as we think of the Lord Jesus. And brother, Stubbs has just mentioned that we should walk even as he walked. And I'd love just to go over and look in the life of Abram, three crises, experiences that he entered into as he trod that path of faith. He was in the way back in Mesopotamia, and God called him, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from my father's house, drawn out from idolatry." And Abram believed God. And he's a wonderful pattern to us of faith, the steps of faith. And we follow in the steps of that faith of our father Abram. What are we in all said and done? We are simply believers. We believe God. And Abram believed God. And God drew him into Christ's experiences and drew him out of them and enriched his life. Abram must have well wondered why God took him the way he did. And the many things happen in our lives that we cannot explain. Why does this happen? And why does that happen? But in each of these experiences, Abram got a fresh vision of faith. He was the friend of God, and his fellowship with God was enriched. We go to chapter 15 of Abram. The key to each of these three experiences in the life of Abram are these words, "after this." And as we read those words, we read them in chapter 15 and 1, and there are another two occasions where we have this expression. Abram, it says that verse 15 of Genesis, and verse 1, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not." It's the first time that we have that expression, fear not. But the word of God is found so many, many times. So many times has been accompanied to God's people. So Abraham must have had cause for fear. There must have been things that terrorized this man of faith. Things that concern them. God said, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He was his protector and his provider, his shield and his exceeding great reward. So when we read these words after this, we ask the question, after what? What was the particular experience that he'd been brought into? That God comes to him in a vision with these beautiful words, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, Abraham had made that choice. He said to Lot, you make the choice. And so Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. And Abraham, as a man of faith, left the choice with God. And the kings of Mesopotamia came down and they carried away captive Lot, Abram's nephew. So Abram with his army and goes out to recover his nephew. And God gave him the victory. He comes back with all the spoils of victory. And the king of Melchizedek, King Melchizedek, King of Salem, met him with bread and wine and strengthened him for a testing in his life. And then the King of Sodom comes out and he says to the king, the King of Sodom says, you take all the possessions and give me the soul. But Abram was a man of faith. He never coveted the material things of this world. He coveted fellowship with God. He knew that God was the possessor of heaven and earth. And he bore testimony to the King of Sodom that the Most High God was the possessor of heaven and earth. And he wouldn't take sin. He wouldn't take of that world. Reminds us of Hebrews chapter 13. Let your lives be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now we can grasp those words with faith and realize that the things around us, perishing things of the world, they can never satisfy us. And they're not the things that should fill our hearts and minds. We know that we need to live. We need to provide for ourselves. And some of us provide for others. And we feel a sense of responsibility. In our own business, we have employed staff of 14, and with casuals, we have 28 working for us. And we're responsible for their livelihood. And we're responsible to run our business in a way that their needs are well met. But we're only passing through this thing. We've been left a little while. And all that we have is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. He's given it to us and we hold it and we use it for His glory. And that, I believe, is the attitude that we should take as God's people. And here is this great man of faith. Here is a tempted by the King of Sodom with all this. He said, no, I'll only take what God has for me. And he was happy to accept that. Be content with such things as you have. And so it's after this crisis, that God comes in and in a very real way reveals himself to him. And he says to Abram, fear not. Did Abram fear the return of these kings of Mesopotamia? That they would come back in revenge? He might well have feared that. But God said to Abram, fear not. I am thy shield. I'm your protector. I am your exceeding great reward. God wants our trust. Whatever the tests in our lives have been, and the disappointments we may have in life, and the things that we cannot understand, why We've been drawn into those situations, yet to know that we can fear God, the one on the throne, who understands our need, who will sustain us in our faith, the one who is our shield, our protector, and our exceeding great reward. And beloved saints of God, let us put God first in our lives and all things, and honour him in all that we do. Now let's go over to chapter 22. You all know what chapter 22 is about. It's one of those wonderful chapters in the Bible. Abraham had waited many, many years for his son, Isaac. And we read there in verse 1 of chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God sent Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, or thine only Isaac. He was alone in the affections of Abraham. He was unique. He was Abraham's promised son. Take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. After these things, after what things? Well, Abraham had waited so long for his son, and he now had his son Isaac. Also, he had many testings in the land. He was almost treated as an intrusion into the land, and yet God said that that land was his land, and he'd given it to Abraham. And you know, the world today is trying to settle the problems in the Middle East. They'll never do it. Because the land belongs to God. And God has given it to Israel. But he made peace with Abimelech. A covenant of peace. So everything was going bright for him, wasn't it? He had his son. He was secure in the land. He was at peace with his neighbors. And he called on the name of the everlasting God. That term, the everlasting God, means the unchanging one. The one who is absolutely dependable. God has given him a son. And God had settled in there in the land. And things were so bright. So good for him. After this, and everything's going well sometimes in our lives, things cross our pathway. Well, why did this happen? Why did this have to intrude into the security of my life and the joy and the pleasure that I have? Why did this thing have to come into my life? So after this, God to tempt Abraham said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a sacrifice. Abraham might have said, well, God, what are you doing? I can't understand it. I've waited so long for this son, and now you say you want it back. Did God believe in human sacrifice? No, he didn't. But God was saying to Abraham, the heathen will offer their offspring to their God. Will you give your only son to me? What a supreme sacrifice God called from Abraham. To give his only son. Remarkable, the faith of Abraham. He took his son, he set out on that journey to the mountain that God would tell him on. He left his servants, and you heard it often said. He said to his servants, stay there, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And the Hebrew epistle tells us that he received them back in life, a figure of resurrection. He received them back. And he bound the wood upon Isaac, and they journeyed together, the father and the son. The wood bound upon the stone. We're reminded this morning in the Lord's Supper of his cross, the cross of Christ, his cross, and here we see him sitting, Isaac, for the wood of the burnt offering, bound upon him. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice? God will himself provide a sacrifice. So there, on that first occasion, the Lord said to Abraham, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. He got a vision of faith, a vision of God as his provider, as his protector. And now, in this experience, he's got a vision of God as his provider. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But further in this chapter, in verse 20 we read, and it came to pass after these things, and it was told Abram, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. And we have these various names. And hidden among this list of names is that word Rebecca. Rebecca. Hidden there among. After these things, after what things? After all the experience that he brought through in Moriah. And we have the double type of the death of the Lord Jesus in the Father not withholding his son. But then we have the ram caught in the thicket as a substitute. And we know there was no substitute for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He went into the dark depths of Calvary for you and for I. He was the God-provided ransom, the God-provided Savior. Isaac is a picture of the son. And Isaac goes off the scene, as it were. And he's not mentioned again. His father received him back again, a figure of resurrection. And here is Abraham, the experience of this tremendous sacrifice that he made is over. And Abraham journeys back to Beersheba, and there he dwells. And there he is. And after this experience, there comes a wayfaring traveller bearing news to Abraham of his kindred away back there in Mesopotamia. And he records to Abraham all the years that had passed and the children that had been born. And among them is this name, Rebecca. Abraham saw in that tidings, after the deep experience that he'd been through, he saw in that testimony that born to him, a vision of faith. He saw a Rebecca, a wife for Isaac. Oh, what a hope, what a blessed expectation came into the life of this great man. You and I are still in the body. We're still treading the steps of faith. We're still entering experiences. And God is proving us. And God is blessing us. And God has eternity before us. And he wants us to honour him in our life. He wants us, as we've been reminded already, to walk even as he walked. And Abraham walked in the energy of faith. And in dependence upon his God, and he covered it above all things. Fellowship with his God. He was a man that looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Beloved saints of God, each step that you and I take in the experience of faith from the moment of conversion are meaningful. And they're steps in which we can honour and glorify our God. We often speak of baptism as the first step. step of obedience in the life of a believer, and we're going to witness it for this evening. And baptisms have always been, in my experience, a happy occasion. Occasions of joy to see someone stepping out and saying, I belong to Christ. He went into death for me, and I want to go. I want to follow him. I want to go through and figure what he went through in reality. So it's just the first step. There are many steps. Steps that test us. Steps that bring us into experience. Steps that draw us nearer. Every trial draws us nearer. So that one, that ultimately we're going to see. He has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And God bless us with to help and encourage us in the pathway of faith that he's called us to trust.